He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, saith the Lord. Do you have a heart for me, saith God? If you have a heart for me, then you will be able to hear, and you will be able to give heed to the things that you hear. And I will be able to direct you and lead you and guide you and thereby keep you and bless you, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Some people come to church and they're not really ready to give heed to what God is saying. It's not just the listening, it's giving heed. It's listening with the intent to obey because of a devoted heart to Him. God is going to say some things to you that's going to conflict with your flesh. That's when it's crucial that we crucify the flesh and allow Jesus to be the Lord of our life. Because He said He's going to lead us, He's going to bless us, He's going to keep us. Can you say amen? What a blessing that kind of attitude brings, because His Word is what to your pathway? It robs Satan of an element that is the only element he's got to work with, and that's darkness. Amen. But the Bible said God's Word would be unto you and me if we receive it into the right attitude of heart. It would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Can you say amen? Jesus put it this way in the New Testament, or it's put this way: He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Rob Satan of that deceptive element of darkness. Can you say amen? He cannot defraud you of anything that God has given you in Jesus Christ. He can't steal from you. Amen. If you rob him of that element of darkness. Hallelujah. So this is a light. Hallelujah. Is it not written, the entrance of my word giveth light? I want to flood your soul with light, that even the shadow from darkness will not appear, saith the Lord. Yea, I want to flood your life with light, that your light shine before men, saith the Lord. Yea, I want you to be clothed with the full armor of light, so that the darkness has to fall back when you approach, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah! 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 So many Christians are going to leave church without light today. And they're going to be sucked back into the darkness, and you won't be able to tell them from the world, and they're going to stumble, stagger, and grope like blind men. And the blind follow who? Who are they going to end up following? Who are those people without the light in their life of the Word? I don't care what kind of experiences they're having, so-called revival they're having. Who are they going to follow? Amen. The blind will follow who? The blind. And what happens then? They all end up in the ditch. I don't want to end up in, I've come too far off the King's highway. Amen. To be sidetracked into the ditch at this stage in my life. Can you say amen? What I want from God has to be real. It has to be authentic. It has to be something that outlasts the fervor of a flash in the pan so-called revival. It has to be something that changes my life. Can you say amen? That no matter what condition I find myself in, God is still God. My faith still works. His victory is still sure. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The entrance of His Word giveth light, and it gives understanding, listen to this, to people like me, to the simple. Can you say amen? If you understanding to the simple. David said, amen. Listen, David's background, he became a king because of God's anointing. But his background wasn't some great theological, great intelligentsia. He was a shepherd boy. That was his background. He kept his father's sheep. Can you say, man? Everybody say he was blue collar. He wasn't part. He wasn't a blue blood. He was blue collar. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But he said, I know more than my teachers because of your word. Can you say amen? If I just start keeping your word, it's going to give me a wisdom. It's going to give me a knowledge. Hallelujah. The entrance of thy word gives me light. And that light becomes a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. It shows me which course to take. And it delivers me from the one who lays entrapments for me, from the evil one. Because it takes away what he covers every trap with. And that's the darkness of ignorance. And we're not ignorant of his devices. Why? Because God floods us with light. And we're up against the prince of darkness and all the forces that gather under that umbrella. Can you say amen? But we put on the armor. The New Testament says we put on the armor of light. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how thick or gross the darkness. When you light a light, amen? When a light comes on, what happens to the darkness? It dispels it. The light hath what? Shined into the darkness. The darkness comprehendeth it not. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Arise and shine. Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. That's the condition that we're in right now. But the Bible said for the true believer, arise and shine. For thy light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee and shall be seen upon thee. It says of the Messiah's coming in another portion of Scripture, that they that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I saw the light. I saw the light we used to see. Glory to God. And the light floods us. No more darkness. No more night. Praise God. We've been delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're to show forth the virtues of Him that called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This ain't no, excuse ain't, but it is in the dictionary. This isn't no little light of mine that I'm letting shine. This is the Shekinah. This is the revelation. This is the illumination. This is the very glory of God. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Nothing little about this light. You may be little, but the light is not. Hallelujah. I said, you may be little. I am little, but the light is not. Hallelujah. Woo! And the reason I know the lost can be saved is because the people that sat in darkness has seen a great light. Light is the great illuminator. And those in prisons of darkness can go free and be liberated. But it begins with illumination. The Bible said after of your salvation experience in Hebrews 10, it says after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Because the devil knew that you know. You've got the keys of the prison house of darkness. Hallelujah. He can't hold you captive. Amen. He does everything to distract you, discourage you, dissuade you. Because you're a soul set free. And you have the potential to see other people set free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody give God praise in here. No wonder He fights you. Hallelujah. You are a warrior. Clothed in the armor of light in a world filled with darkness. And the Bible said, don't pull your head in. Don't be intimidated by that darkness. This is your time to shine. Arise, shine. Your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you and shall be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 This nation is shaking right now. It's shaking. The new normal is here. Amen. We're having to deal with the new normal. This nation is shaking. Amen. The gods of materialism. That we're gonna listen, God's gonna help us. But we've got to understand God is at work in America. What would it take to turn a nation back to God? What gets our attention? Well, obviously 9/11 did not. But what has got our attention now? The economy. What wrecked Russia's Iron Curtain? What melted it down and caused the Berlin Wall to come down? Economic judgment in Russia. Honey, they said we join the global community or we have a revolution because people are standing in line to get bread. We got a military that's right up there close to the United States in power. We got atomic weapons. But man, on the world market, amen, our money is not worth anything and our nation is beginning to crumble, and without a shot being fired, that old Iron Curtain melted down. Amen. And not only did the Iron Curtain melt down, but the bamboo curtain come down as well. Talking about the China. Amen. China had to join the global community. They had to sign some peace pacts. They had to get rid of their war rhetoric. Can you say me why? Because it was necessary for their survival nationally that they become involved in the global community. Can you say amen? God got the attention, and that's why the gospel got in there. That's why the gospel got into Russia. Can you say amen? I believe God is trying to get the attention of this nation once again to bring us back to our beginnings, and understanding God we trust is vital to the victory and blessing of America. Amen. And the church needs to come back to the focus on the spiritual and eternal. Jesus is coming soon. There are many souls that still need saving and many Christians that need to be made ready for His appearing, because He's coming as a thief in the night. Amen? And God wants to bring us back to the eternal. Doesn't mean He's not going to provide for us along the way. I believe God is going to do two things. Number one, He is going to give us wisdom about what we really need. The new normal means I have to prioritize. We've decided to shave our dogs and turn the air conditioner off on the back porch. We're not really going to shave the dogs. Turn the air off and turn the fans on. We don't have an air-conditioned doghouse for them, but there is a, you know, this little sunroom back porch thing. And it's on a timer, but now the timer's going to just have to go down. Amen. Do you know what it said yesterday? You ready for the new normal? Listen, God's trying to get the attention of a nation. Amen. Someone told me, going out to the car, and you'll recognize this teaching almost immediately. We're going to go ahead here and worship, but another song. We're done? All right. You may be seated if you'd like. Somebody told me walking to the car. You know what they told me? They said, I heard so-and-so prophesy the other day that the transfer is about to take place. I said, the transfer. Of course, I'd heard this before, and I keep hearing it. I've heard it actually for the last decade. Can you say, it's been 10 years. What it is for is to stimulate people to keep pouring it in, even though we're becoming economically strapped. And we need to be faithful to the Lord, but some doctrines out there we need to be very wary of. And one of the doctrines is that the forces of the Gentiles will be given unto thee. It's just scriptural in the Old Testament. If you look at the context of it, it's when Israel is back in the land. It's when they have accepted Christ as their Messiah. It's when they're going to grab the coat of him who is a Jew and say, show us the way to the light. Because they're going to lead evangelism after a while. There's 144,000 people who are Jewish evangelists that are going to be sealed for the express purpose of sharing the gospel globally in the book of Revelation. Can you say amen? And when that day comes, by the way, Israel isn't accepted Christ nationally as their Messiah. There are converted Jews, but they are the fringe. They are not the mainstream. Amen. Jesus hasn't come in his millennial reign. All of that hasn't happened yet. And the Bible said they will pay tribute to that, you know, to that headquarters, that spiritual headquarters in Jerusalem, and the forces of the Gentiles would be brought in there. Well, what we've done is taken it out of the prophetic context, out of any Bible scholar's clear understanding. Even the heading in the Bible is not talking about the here and now. We had to go back into a prophetic scripture for something in the future and put it in the now. And preach it as doctrine. And that's what we're doing. Somebody said, well, it's biblical. Yeah, but it's out of context. And anything out of context is a pretext. And so what we're waiting on is everything Hollywood's got to come to us. Everything the oil baron's got to come to us. We're just sitting around waiting for it to fall on us. Well, how long are you going to wait? What is the test of a prophet? What is the bottom line of prophecy? Is it all right to test prophecy? Are we so into someone's anointing that what they say doesn't matter? Or was we so caught up with the personality or the flow of a crowd that what they say doesn't matter? So he said, this person said that the transfer is about to take place. All the wealth of the world to us. And I said, you know something? That would be great. It would. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great to get up in the morning and find that the World Bank or somebody wrote you a check for $10 million because it's time. Here it is. You know, I'm going to take some of Bruce Willis's stuff and I'm going to give it to you. I think Bruce may have something to say about it. That's right. Give me his car. I'll sell it for cash. And here we are waiting while we pour it into these guys, to keep them living the high life. And our focus is on what I can get in my hand instead of what I hold in my heart.
Oh my God.
And I looked over at him and I said, you know something? What we need is a revival in America so that God can literally, authentically restore the blessing on this nation. Because the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. It's not just getting what they have, it's sharing what we have with them so they can come back to God. Can you say amen?
Amen, brother.
I said, we need a revival of repentance. And he said, yeah, you're right. They're like, I don't want to hear that. What I want to hear is that it's all going to fall on me. So I can be what? Like them? And continue down the road that this nation is going. Hath a nation changed her gods? Was the Old Testament challenge. Has this nation changed her gods? Absolutely. It's unquestionable. It's inarguable. We have changed our gods. Because gold and silver and the temporal things of the world have become that focus of the church in so many quarters that it's mind-boggling in the day that the coming of the Lord is at the door. Is this such a time to go after gold and silver? Do we need it? Does God want to bless our life? Yes, He does, and He will. But this desire, and He is, but this desire to be opulent. They that would be rich have the desire to live in opulence. Fall into many deceitful sins, hurtful lust. Can you say amen? Beware lest your heart be overcharged with surfacing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief. There's a large portion of the church world that is not preparing for His soon appearing. Amen. Be ye also ready, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And to they that look, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. To they that look, the Scripture says. And they that are looking for the soon coming of Jesus are not lusting after what the world has. They've got something better to look forward to. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? So I realize that I'm preaching an unpopular message. But I'm still preaching the truth. And I do not have the Elijah complex. I am not the only one. I saw a preacher weeping it was in Germany, holding a meeting to church leaders in Germany, and I saw a minister weeping and tears running down his cheeks over the conditions of the church in the world, and particularly in America. And his heart was broken, and the tears were streaming. He said, "What I'm saying is not popular, and I know probably you won't want to hear it, and many of you will probably turn me off, but what I'm saying is the truth, and my heart is breaking." And he had to quit ministering and just stand there and weep with tears running down his cheeks. Amen. Because he cares about what's happening to God's people and the awful plight of the lost, and the necessity for revival in the church that begins with our priorities becoming... Listen, if the kingdom gets first, all these things, your Father knows what you have need of. He's cognizant and He cares. Hallelujah. When the kingdom gets first, Jesus said, God's going to take care of everything else. See, when the kingdom is first, the King can fulfill you with Himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. He can fulfill you with Himself.
Yeah.
I love to come out to your place. Amen. I have been to places in Gated. I went to a millionaire's home one time to pray for a lady. Prayed for her and God healed her. As far as I know, she was healed of cancer. She lived and did not die. Amen. We went to a millionaire's home on a canal down in near Naples or somewhere. I remember going there, and it was this huge house, and they had, you know, and I thought, I walked in there, you know, with the marble floors or whatever they had. It was beautiful. It wasn't, you know, something, but it was super. And it's on a canal where you can bring your yacht or your boat up and go right out and do your thing, and it was kind of neat, you know, walking in. And we went in there with someone that had a situation that all that money couldn't solve. Can you say amen? Only thing that could solve that is a manifestation of God. Hallelujah. Only thing that could touch that cancer situation was God manifesting Himself and bringing healing. And I remember my wife driving down there to pray for this person. And we laid hands on it. For as I know, they lived and did not die after that. And I'm grateful to the Lord for manifesting Himself. Amen. He's a right. But see, that's something you can't. That's not a tangible thing. We were not redeemed with the tangible of silver and gold. That wasn't the ransom. Amen. But it was the precious blood. And real revival puts the blood of Jesus back as the most precious and powerful thing in our life. And we see ourselves as rich and having food and raiment and the preciousness of what Jesus has given on the cross. We begin to rejoice with grateful hearts. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We need our bills paid. Tampa Electric's getting ready to go up. 22% is what they're asking for because of rising fuel costs. I thought, my cost is going up too. I could just see me going into my boss and saying, I need a 22% raise to cover. If you get a quarter, you're blessed. If your light bill was $114, it will change, ta-da, to $150. That's what the paper said this week.
If it's
$300, look out, honey. Shave the dog, turn on the fans. This is the new normal. Right in the midst of prophesying that this breakthrough is here, this great transfer is taking place. What's wrong with all of that? It's not happening. Is it not happening? Is it not? You know, some people seem to have an issue with that. I have no issue with saying something's wrong when it's wrong. Is that message bringing revival to America? Are people seeking Him instead of stuff? So anyway, here we are today. We're in a place where we're going to continue to preach what we preach to the faithful few. Because I'm not going to tell you no lies to get people in this room. Because I have to answer to Him. Now, in fact, I told you not too long ago that an economic judgment's coming in America. You remember that message? It was while the folks were here from West Virginia. I said, God is going to shake this nation. Amen. And it's shaking. It's continuing to shake. God didn't have to put that in my spirit. All you got to do is look around and see what's up. Can you say amen? Stick your head out the window sometime. Look around. Amen. We're living in a reality. And I don't want no spiritual fantasy. Listen, God is going to make a way for you. God is going to make a way for me. I'm not trying to find opulence during this time. I'm trying to say, listen, I've got food and raiment and Christ reigning as the King of my life. I'm looking, I'm watching the eastern sky. I'm Maranatha. I'm ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Self-indulgence is ruling and reigning, even in the church. But Jesus taught, beware, watch out for this in the last day, that you don't get caught up in the flow and the current. Beware lest your heart be overcharged with servanting, drunkenness. What is that? Self-indulgence. It's the me generation. Everything is flowing into me. Can you say amen? Watch out for that and watch out for that message. There are those that suppose that gain is godliness. From such turn away. All it would take to break the yoke of this thing is for God's people to turn away from it. Amen. And we'd find out what really is people pouring it in and what's really God. Can you say amen? I don't give to those ministries. Amen. And I don't listen to them either. I change the channel. People give me tapes, I throw them away. I'm not rude like I wasn't rude or argumentative yesterday. I just changed the subject from their stuff to the need for revival in a nation so that God can legitimately bless us again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I'm believing God to keep us through this thing. But you are and I am having to live with a new normal. And it's going to bring out some things. It's going to find out where your heart is. Can you say amen? A man's heart's going to follow his treasure. And it's going to bring out whether the things of God are worth investing in, whether it's worth the gas for the trip to church, whether it's worth giving to the ministry of the work of the kingdom, or whether it's worth keeping it for the stuff we think we can't do without. Amen? Amen? And boy, we're already starting to see the ranks thin. And it ain't over yet, because this is a shaking time. Can you say amen? And let me tell you what's going to happen. Everything that can be shaken, will be shaken. Why? Because it's God that's doing the shaking. Amen. So that what? So that everything can fall apart and fall down? No. So that that which cannot be shaken might remain. You know you're in an unshakable kingdom. You're on an unshakable foundation. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So an authentic church is going to emerge in America. Amen? Yeah. The real deal is going to rise up. And they that sit in darkness are going to see a great light when it does. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Well, I just thought I'd tell you there's some good news ahead. Because God is trying to turn a nation in Elijah's day. They went through 3 years, amen, of drought and famine. And economically it wrecked that nation. But it humbled an old king. It humbled, amen, down enough that he wanted to talk to the prophet and have a dialogue with him and listen to what he had to say instead of kill him. Can you say amen? It began to change the order of things. And it wasn't long after that turnaround before the prophet said, I feel an abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Right in the middle of all of that, he said, it's coming. God's intent was never to hurt or destroy, but to turn the people back to himself so that he could truly bless them again. And I feel an abundance of rain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, that's not after he saw the cloud. Amen. This was the inward witness. It's time for the outpouring. I feel the abundance. I don't see anything, but I feel the abundance of rain. And when he felt that abundance, he said, you better go start looking over in the sky. Tell me what you see to his servant. He said, I don't see anything. He said, you better go look again because I feel the abundance of rain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God, when God drops it in your heart, it don't matter what you see anymore. Can you say amen? But you keep looking because God said it. Amen. You better go look again. He went and looked again and said, I don't see nothing. He said, but I feel the abundance of rain. You better go look again. And he looked again and come back and said, I don't see nothing. But that didn't change anything because he said, I feel the abundance of rain. So you better go look again. And he went and he looked again. And there was nothing. He said, but I feel the abundance of rain. So you better go look again. And finally he came back and said, there's a cloud like a man's hand. Woo! He said, tell everybody in the lowland to get to the high ground. How does God restore a people? He sends the former and the latter rain in one season. Hallelujah. So in the midst of all of this, if it turns a nation's focus from the self-indulgent attitudes of the material world back to the God of glory and His Son and our great Savior and His soon coming and the need to reach others for Jesus Christ before He does, then people like me are going to feel the abundance of rain here in materialistic, unarguably a materialistic nation. Can you say amen? Ever getting, but never having enough. People looking for happiness and fulfillment in things instead of Christ Jesus. And I'm talking about the church too, not just the world out there. So the good is when God brings our attention back to our need for Him and another Him. Hallelujah. Then those who prophesied the very, very corrected start feeling the restored blessing. Down, the blessing's going to follow repentance. Hallelujah. Something may have to happen to bring repentance, but when repentance takes place, what follows? Restoration. Say it with me. Restoration. Hallelujah. I will restore unto thee, he said in Joel, the years that the locust and the caterpillar and the cankerworm and the palmer worm have eaten. All of that devastation I will restore to you because I will send you the former and the latter rain in one season. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I feel what, church? The abundance of rain. You prayed for revival. God is moving so it can happen. But He has to turn a people back to Himself. I need Jesus more than I need anything today. Bring us back, O God. Bring us back, O God. Bring us back in this nation, O God. Hallelujah. Bring us back in our churches, in our pulpits, in our homes. Bring us back, O God. Hallelujah. Rebuke us not in that hot displeasure. And in all of that judgment and righteous judgments, Lord, remember mercy. Hallelujah. I feel a prophetic anointing here today. We don't need hireling preachers, self-indulgent ministers leading us down that same road of surfeiting drunkenness and the cares of this life. I'm not talking about alcoholism. I'm talking about being so filled with self-indulgence that we're blinded like someone who's inebriated. We stumble around. Instead of lead, we stumble around in the Word of God. We stumble around in the Scriptures. And the blind are the only ones who follow the blind because those with light will not. They will not because my sheep know my voice. Amen. They hear what the Spirit says to the church and a stranger they will not follow. The day of this strange fire is coming quickly to an end. God is going to counter this. You can cry peace to a nation that needs to repent all you want, but until there's repentance, there will not be blessing. Can you say, man, God said to the Old Testament prophets, He said, woe to them that call the light darkness. And the darkness light, and good evil, and evil good. He said they prophesy the designs and desires of their own heart. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have brought them a message from me. And what was the message? To repent and come back so you could be restored and truly blessed. There is no shortcut to blessing. No one's plan financially can bring blessing if our hearts aren't right before the Lord. Can you say amen? God's blessing is predicated upon a people being right with Him. Blessed are the people whose God is what? The Lord. No one else and nothing else before Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hath a nation changed her gods? Yes, we have. Said they've hewed out to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water, and forsaken me, the fountainhead of living water, and tried to make their own cisterns, their own self-satisfying self-sufficiency. It said, without me, all of that is a broken cistern. Broken cistern means in the bottom of that thing that they lined with clay to catch the rainwater and hold it, there's a crack. No matter how hard it rains or how much it rains, it goes out the crack in the bottom. Can you say amen? It holds no water. Amen. When God's people put everything secondary to His house, amen, the Bible said you make money, but you put it into bags with holes. There's that broken cistern again. It comes in and something takes it. Everybody say gravy through a goose. I've always used that to describe my payday. You put it in the bank so you can what? Ride it out of the bank and pay the bills. Everybody say gravy through a goose. That's what it was. It says you're making money. But what happens to it? It takes every penny of all you make. Goes right out. Bags with holes. You can't save. There's nothing left. Can you say, man? A bag with a hole in it, don't matter how much money you pour in it, it's going out the bottom. Till God's blessing is at it. And then a meal barrel can't go empty. Woo! Somebody give Him praise. God wants to change this thing in America. Hallelujah. I'm preaching the sermon and it's almost over. But listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, and you can be seated just for a moment. We're almost done. Hath a nation changed her gods? Yea, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed to themselves broken cisterns, dug broken cisterns which can hold no water. Hath a nation changed her gods? Has a nation changed her gods? Amen. Are we as a nation pursuing what we pursued at the beginning? Amen. Or has a nation changed her gods? The Bible said that there are those that would worship the creature more than the Creator. Amen? I've never seen such a day when such credibility is given to people instead of God. I've never lived in a day of such biblical illiteracy. That's why people are blind. You can't study the Word of God or get in a good Bible study and not be discerning. Amen? Strong meat. The truth of the Word, as it is written, belongs to those who are of full age, who by reason of the exercise of their senses are able to discern good and evil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. One reason many Pentecostals are so easily duped and sucked in, amen, is because Bible study is not a priority with many Pentecostal circles. It's the experience of worship. It's experience in the preaching service, not the truth necessarily. We're not really equipped to test the spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits and see if they be of God. Well, how do you try a spirit? How do you try an angel? When an angel appears, and listen to this, here's a countering scripture, and no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Well, how, if an angel of light appears to you, how are you supposed to test that? Number one, the Bible said just because he appears to you don't mean you just say, well, come on. Anything you say, I receive, because you're an angel. Look at them wings. And you're a bright angel, too. You're not a dark angel. Can you say, man? Now, if some dark foreboding figure came, you know, I mean, you know, with this cloak of darkness and this face that looks like 20 miles of bad road, you might absolutely question what they have to say. But Satan makes it beautiful. Come on. Anything he does, he's going to add beauty to. Amen. He's got a beauty shop for fallen angels. He knows just how to do it. Can you say, man? You know what he was? You know why he fell? By reason of his beauty. He got puffed up with pride in himself. Called him the anointed cherub that ministered in the fiery coals of the altar in the presence of God. But by reason of thy beauty, thou was lifted up. Everybody say, pride is the sin that made an angel a devil. God resists, therefore, the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit. Some of you have been intimidated, felt like second-class Christians because you've seen these powerhouses come on the scene. Can you say, man, and they can quote scripture, and they can do this, and they can do that, and they walk like they don't have a problem, and they got all of your answers. Can you say, man, listen to me. God gives grace to those who are admitting that without him, we are nothing. We're going to stumble. We're going to bumble. We're going to fail. We're going to fall. The anointing doesn't take the place of having Jesus support you and God give you grace sufficient. No revelation takes the place of God holding you in his arms and upholding you with the right hand of his righteousness. If a man is truly, or a woman is truly standing in victory today, they're not there because of their faith. They're there because of his faithfulness. Mark it down. Your faith is meaningless without God's faithfulness. And to them that hath no might, those that are keenly aware that without him we're nothing, we'll fail, we'll fall, we're hopeless. I love that song, I'm desperate for you, I'm lost without you. Can you say, man? I haven't developed in faith to a condition to where I don't desperately cling to the cross and cry out to God. Everybody say, cling to the cross and cry out to God. Honey, that's biblical Christian victory. Hallelujah. Amen. I cried unto the Lord. And everywhere you see the word cried, we're not talking about somebody with a case of the poor old me's. Amen. Crying to the Lord means in every case it is rendered. Amen. It means to cry out for help. Why do people cry out for help? Because they realize their helplessness and their need for him and him alone. Can you say amen? David said, I cried unto the Lord. I cried out for help. He heard me. Isn't it great to know that God hears when we are so weak and we are so dependent and desperate for him that we cry out for help? Oh, faith. The real core of faith is a recognition that without him we're nothing. Without him, I love the prayer that the little boy prayed in a camper. They had a camper on the back of a pickup truck and they were going to fish somewhere, and mama and daddy and the dog and this little four-year-old boy were huddled in the camper. They got tornado warnings. It was too late to drive anywhere. They're out by this river or lake, and this stormy weather comes and the trees are bending and the hail starts hitting the top of that camper on the back of a pickup truck. They get in it, they huddle down, and the thing begins to shake and the winds, and they don't know where the tornado might spin out of a cloud at any time, and the little boy begins to pray and he says, oh Lord, please take care of mama and daddy and Rusty, that's the dog, and me, Lord, and Lord, take care of yourself, because without you, we're sunk. That's a cry for help. David said, I developed my faith into giant killing faith. Any time a problem came along, I used my faith, slung my stone, and down it fell. No, David said, I cried unto the Lord. I cried out for help, and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. That made me cry out had to fall back because He listened to my cry. And He responded and helped me. Can you say amen? Everybody say, I cried unto the Lord. Honey, faith cries out to God. Faith makes no bones about it. Without Him, we're sunk. Somebody give God praise in this room. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In the story of Jehoshaphat, it's an incredible example of that crying out faith. Amen. It's just incredible to see how we've changed it to something we possess and manipulate to stay strong in our faith, so we really don't need to stay humble before God. Amen. Everyone in this room needs to stay humbly dependent, and most of you are. But don't ever let someone that acts like they got the spiritual world by the tail. They're up here in such faith, they never have a bad day. They manipulate every situation to their own liking. Can you say, man, all of their kids are A students and always win the track meet? Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? Amen. It's incredible. Two Christian ladies at a Christian school are praying and confessing, let my child bring home the blue ribbon in the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? Why do we even worry about blue ribbons? Can you say amen? What is all of this about anyway? Amen. Some of you feel so incriminated and intimidated by other people you see that seem to have it all together. Honey, they may not have it as all together as it appears on television. Amen. You see 1 hour on television, there's 23 lived at home. Sheila Walsh, just before going in, and she wasn't being prideful or anything, but I want to tell you about real life and a need of dependence upon the Lord. Sheila Walsh was second in the influential chair on CBN, Pat Robertson's network. Sheila Walsh, at the close of every service, would stand there and take hands with Pat Robertson. And both of them were getting words of knowledge for people in a television audience. Sheila Walsh can sing. Have you ever heard her sing? We love to hear Sheila Walsh sing. Sheila Walsh was slim.
Yeah, there you are. That's
something else. Come on. I mean, come on. When you walk out on the platform, you're tall, you're slim, you can sing, you've got gifts of the Spirit. Great Irish accent. Make it unique, and you listen to people because that accent catches you. Sheila's together, Sheila's with it, right? Sheila's anointed. The anointing is not your character, your life. The anointing is a gift. Amen? Samson was anointed, wasn't he? Yeah. What happened to Samson? Did the anointing take the place of developing his character? Did it do anything toward that? Did he sleep with a Philistine hoe? Can you say amen? Did he? Did he? Did he lose his strength with all that anointing? Did he end up dying with the enemies of God? Do you consider that a victory to die? God vindicated His name, not His servant.
That's right.
He died. When that temple come down, it came down on them, but it also came down on Him. They sinned in darkness. He did it in light. If God blesses him in spite of all of that, then everybody else can do it and get the anointing back and go on as if it didn't happen. God didn't do that. God didn't even let Moses, because he just hit a rock twice in anger and broke the type of Christ. He did not let him see the promised land. This is not a... Folks, this is a battlefield. This is not a recreation room. We used to sing that song, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to and run if you will, but I came here to stay. Can you say, man? I came into this unshakable kingdom to stand, not to shake as the world shakes, not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. In Pentecostalism, there is so many winds blowing. amen, in every direction out there. You go to the charismatic section, and one thing about it, even some winds blowing the wrong way, at least you know which way they're blowing. Amen. You get in the Pentecostal charismatic section, they're blowing every which way. Who do you go with? I pray that you pick this Bible up. I pray that when there's a Bible study, amen, if you don't get one liver shiver while sitting there studying the Word of God, that you will sit and study the Word of God. Can you say amen? This is the lamp, thy Word. Everybody say His Word. This is the lamp to your feet. This is the light to your pathway. The entrance of thy Word giveth light. It giveth understanding to who? The simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist when you get this in you. And you don't have to be a great theologian when you get this in you. Can you say amen? When you get this on the inside of you, you may not remember chapter and verse, but the principle will be in you. And when you hear something that doesn't sound right and there's a check on the inside, hallelujah, that's called discernment. Then you can go and search the Scripture to see if it's true or not. But you don't even search the Scripture if you're just going by feelings and following the crowd. The blind can't lead the blind unless the people following the blind are blind. It's not people with eyes wide open following the blind. The blind are leading who? The blind. The Word of God is to open the eyes of the blind. Amen. It's about illumination. It's about revelation. It's about truth. If you continue in my word, not if you continue to follow this ministry, that ministry, that evangelist, that apostle, that prophet. But if you continue in my word, you'll know what? The truth. And what will the truth do for you? Set you free. If you do what? Someone asked me at work, said, didn't the Bible say the truth would set you free? I said, no! That's out of context. The Bible said, if you continue in my word, John, amen, John's gospel, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. If you don't continue in the word, you'll never know the truth. Truth can't set you free unless you know it. Continue in his word means what? To continue in his word. It means to study, to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing. Because so many people have told me, well, he's got Bible for it. Oh, man. Amen. Well, let's just open up the book then. Amen. Let's see. And Judas went out and hung himself. That's Bible. Here's another verse here. Go and do thou likewise. Well, let's get it on. I got Bible for it. No, I don't. I've taken two unrelated scriptures. I've taken things out of context. I haven't read above and below. That's not truth. That won't set you free. Can you say, man, what will set you free is this whole book? Can you say, man, you need this, listen. No other foundation can any man lay that has been laid. We are laid upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That means Old and New Covenant, Old and New Testament, with Christ Himself becoming the chief cornerstone of it all. And without that, we're gullible. I hear so many misquotes of Scripture, makes me want to kick the TV. But it takes blind people to follow blind men and women. Amen? Because I won't follow them. I'm not blind. I've been in this thing too long. I've been in the book too long. When I didn't have a pastor to lead me, I went to that book. When I didn't know what was right or wrong in this fear thing, touch not my anointed. Honey, I'm telling you, anybody that won't stand up to the scrutiny of that book is not anointed of God. If they are anointed of God, they're in error. Either way, you don't follow them because of the anointing. When truth is at issue. Can you say, don't be afraid to question. The Bible said, Paul said, I will commend the Christians at Berea. He went down there and preached to them. Amen. They had begun to embrace the Christian doctrine, Christian faith, that the new covenant is here, Jesus is the Messiah. But they said, this is too important just to take it because somebody got a miracle or somebody got an anointing or somebody spoke in tongues or somebody fell out or somebody got holy laughter or whatever. They went home and did what? Search the what? The Scripture. to see if those things that he said were true. Paul said, I'm not afraid of the scrutiny of Scripture. Because I'm a man of truth, and what I've told you is the truth, and it is biblically verifiable truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Listen, those of you that are intimidated, many of you are. Here comes Sheila Walsh, and she's thin. She's tall. She can sing. She's anointed. She's on television. She sits in the seat next to Pat Robinson. Before the TV goes off, they join hands and pray. He gets a word of knowledge. She gets a word of knowledge. She comes in one day and has to leave. She goes home and can't find peace. Within a week, she's in a mental institution. So if you think the anointing, I'm not saying anything wrong. I'm saying that she, somewhere along the line, she lost her peace, her personal walk with Christ, under the anointing, doing the work of God. Hello? But in that place, she went through a soul cleansing. She came out of there a different person. The anointing didn't keep her. There's no place the Bible says it does. You're not kept by the anointing. Amen? You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're kept by the power of God unto the day of redemption. And the power of God is vested in the person that God has sent to be your Savior. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Where's all the crowns being thrown in heaven? At the feet of Him that's the Lamb that was slain. We fall down, throw our crowns at the feet of Jesus. We need a revival of turning back to Christ. A Christ-centered message. A cross-centered message. Hallelujah. You see, people preaching under heavy anointings. You see people being healed under ministry. You assume the doctrine must be pure because they're so close to God they couldn't miss it. That's wrong. William Branham went into great error after seeing mighty miracles in his ministry. Thank you for the hearty amen. Yes, he did. Most of the great evangelists God used in gifts ended up in some kind of error or personal sin or failure because they lived in the pressure to represent this perfection and this. They were not crying to the Lord. The humility was gone. Jimmy Swaggart stood as the premier evangelist of the Pentecostal world before his personal fall. Hello? Anointed? Unquestionable anointed. He could sing and play that piano at the altar call and hearts would melt and people come to Christ. Amen? Jimmy said this, take heed. Jimmy said, there are many fine ministers that I could have went to when my personal life began to fall apart and sin began to get a stranglehold on me. I've heard this. Well, he was doing such a great work for God, the old devil got mad. Honey, wait a minute. Then everybody that does anything great for God is going to fall and fail. The devil is stronger than Jesus Christ in your life. No, this is every man is tempted when he's led away of what? Say it with me. His own lust. You can't attribute that to the devil and you sure can't put it on God. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Come on. We can't keep blaming the devil for our failures. We have to assume responsibility. Something broke down. Are you condemning? No, I'm telling you what the man said. You don't follow the anointing. You follow Jesus. You keep your relationship with Him strong. There are people, amen, that go to church that have never had a relationship with Christ. His words are meaningless. They do not affect the way they live their life. They don't want to go to hell. They do want to go to heaven, but following Jesus is something that just doesn't enter into the equation. So what I preach has no effect because what the Spirit says is not being heard and giving heed to. Jimmy Swaggart said there were a lot of men of integrity, men that would never betray my confidence, people I could speak to about my problem before it became public and did the damage it did. He said, but listen to this. But this is what he said on television. But I was Jimmy Swagger. Everyone expects me to help them, not me to ask for help. Submit yourself to one another. Confess your faults to one another. No one is above the need for prayer. No one is above the need for the body of Christ to rally around them. Hello. No one is so super anointed we don't need each other or accountability. So God had to expose the sin to get it dealt with. Because it wasn't dealt with the way it should have been and could have been. Can you say amen? So it became public, didn't it? Amen. Did God keep it under wraps? No. He let it come out. James Robinson, on the other hand, preached to more people during his evangelistic ministry than Billy Graham. Billy Graham held yearly crusades